Some context from China on a deadly explosion there today.
Marketplace Morning Report is produced in association with the University of Southern California and is supported by MassMutual, offering retirement and 401k plan solutions for more than 65 years. MassMutual.com/retirestrong.
From APM, I'm David Brancaccio via the studios this week of the BBC in London. Chinese officials are calling it a terrorist attack. Early this morning in the western city of Urumqi, 31 people were killed and at least 90 others injured when vehicles plowed into a crowded market and then exploded. It's the latest in a series of attacks in China. We now go to Marketplace's chief correspondent in China, Rob Schmitz, for details. Rob, thanks for joining us.
Thank you.
Now, this isn't the first attack we've seen from China this year that has been blamed on terrorists.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, in March, we saw a terrible knife attack in southwest China. And just a few weeks ago, there was a bombing and knife attack at a train station in Urumqi, the site of today's attack. China's government blamed these previous attacks on Uyghur separatists. Uyghurs are an ethnic Muslim minority who live in China's big northwest region of Xinjiang. It's a Chinese province roughly the size of Alaska, bordering Central Asia. China has so far not blamed any particular group for today's attack, but the details of the attack are the hallmarks of a terrorist attack.
Any sense of the catalyst for this? Why now?
You know, it's hard to know. Today's attack comes a week after the trial runs for a line that will connect Xinjiang with the rest of China by high-speed rail for the first time. Now this new train will reduce what was a trip that took days into hours, and that really underscores China's political control over this region, and that extends, of course, to economic control. In the past, when I've made trips to Xinjiang, many Uyghurs there have told me they feel left behind when it comes to China's economic boom.
Now that it seems likely that China has a terrorism problem of its own, how do you think the government there will handle this?
Well, we've already seen enhanced security at train stations and outdoor malls here in Shanghai. And if you think security post-9/11 in the U.S. was tough, I think China, with its lack of civil protections, will be even more draconian. One interesting thing I've noticed is that China's state-run media is not drawing too much attention to today's attack. So one way China's fighting its war on terror is that it's not talking about it very much, which on one side is a reminder of the lack of the freedom of the press here, but on the other shows a refusal to broadcast that terror to the people.
Marketplace's Rob Schmitz in Shanghai, thank you.
Thanks, David.
All right, from here in London today, let's check the markets. Wait a minute. There's more to life than stock markets. A quick stop at London's Brixton Market. It's in South London, actually. A cornucopia of African and Caribbean goodies here. Abdul trades in vegetables and fruit.
Brixton Market is a very lovely market for everyone. People come from far away. They are very interested to come to Brixton to see how Brixton is and all about Brixton. I'm more selling Afro and English continental food everywhere. Business is the up and down. You cannot guarantee business. Sometimes it's a busy day, it could be a quiet day, and we're still surviving here.
To the stock market, the FT 100 index here is up by 4 scant points. Dow, S&P, and NASDAQ futures are up. The key stock index in Hong Kong closed down a 0.1%.
Today's Morning Report is supported by Allianz, providing solutions to help grow and protect retirement income through its affiliated companies in the U.S., AllianzUSA.com. By Battelle, solving what matters most in national security, health and life sciences, energy, and the environment. More at Battelle.org. And by Zillow, with homes for sale, historical pricing data, and photos all available on Zillow.com or on their mobile apps. Zillow, find your way home.
Now here's British English for don't stumble into the space between the subway platform and the train.
Mind the gap, please.
This week from London, we're minding the gap between rich and poor in this city with lessons for Britain and the U.S. Today, real estate. Is it dear, as they like to say here? Is it a bubble? Some say it's a super bubble. We asked the BBC's Theo Leggett to give us this assessment.
15 Ennismore Gardens is a pleasant-looking stone house on a quiet street in London's fashionable Knightsbridge district. Property agent William Hughes Ward is showing a client around.
Come on in. Fabulous entrance.
This modest two-bedroom home is on the market for a cool $6.75 million. In this part of London, it's par for the course.
So here we are in the master bedroom, along with the Juliet balcony overlooking the...
In fact, across the city, prices are rising rapidly. They've gone up 18% over the past year. For Peter Rollings, chief executive of real estate agency Marsh & Parsons, that's good news.
We're doing great business here and have been since sort of early 2009 when the market recovered. We're now probably 40 to 50% above our 2007 highs, driven by a super demand from UK and overseas buyers.
But others are less enthusiastic. Jacob Kennedy is a software engineer who works in London's financial district. He's trying to buy a home, but he's not having a lot of luck.
The prices always seem to go up just as I get to the point where I might be able to afford it or, you know, get accepted for a mortgage, then it all just gets away from my reach, really, and I'm always just one or two steps behind the curve.
Some experts claim hot money from abroad is distorting the market and rich foreigners are pricing locals out of London. Daniel Bentley of the think tank Civitas says something needs to be done about it.
I think we need to introduce new restrictions on foreign investors and ensure that with each investment that is made, that money is creating new housing and not simply adding to the demand.
But others disagree. Peter Rollings says London property prices have always been unaffordable for most people.
It's a city-state, and in here, where we are in prime central London, probably 40 to 45% of our buyers last year were from overseas. Now, that doesn't mean jetting in, buying a property and jetting off again. It means they are living here and contributing to the local economy. So anyone who wants to get rid of those is in cloud cuckoo land, I think.
Some say the London property market is a bubble waiting to burst and prices could one day plummet. If that happens, it'll be welcomed by London's legions of would-be house buyers. But right now, there's no sign of it happening. In London, I'm Theo Leggett for Marketplace.
And there's news. Tesco, the big supermarket chain here, is getting rid of candy in all of its checkout aisles. That'll certainly reduce the level of ambient whining, but it's also an attempt to help people make healthier eating choices. Tesco says the move is driven by demand. It says it's the customers who asked if the grocery chain could get rid of the sweets and get the confectionery out of their faces. Out of London this week, I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
Superfoods, so nutritious they are life and wallet changing.
Good for your body and also good medicine and also good for money.
But are you getting what you pay for? I'm Kai Rizdahl. We'll have that story and the rest of the day's business news next time on Marketplace. It's from APM.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.